Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to this Monday, November 26th, live edition of the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. I am here with 1J. Prayers for Mr. Reed's family as they're dealing with some things there, but Lord willing, they'll be back here pretty soon. Jeff will be back here pretty soon. So we have a scaled down J squared contingent, but we nevertheless are here ready to do what we do on this radio program. I want to encourage everybody who's making their way, most of you from your part-time jobs, whereas you generate an income, many of us, most of us, outside of our home is where we generate our income, though there are a few of us who work from home. And when I say generating income, I don't mean solely as an employee. There are many of us who are employers as well who generate incomes outside of our homes. As you do so, you're making your transition. I want to remind you that you're going to your full-time job. We want to, in the Hamilton Corner, we want to get out of the mindset to where we give all that we have and all that we are outside of our home in our income-generating capacities only to offer our families the leftovers. We want to reverse that when we understand that we're checking out from part-time work to our full-time work, that we show up, especially us as fathers, as prophets, priests, providers, and protectors in our homes, that our wives and mothers understand that they are not merely babysitting, but that you're nation building. Remember, my wife and I talk about that all the time. When kingdom citizens build families, they're not merely building families, they're building nations that God has placed us in on this side of eternity. Looking forward, oh, I'm about to get excited, to our eternal home, whose builder and maker is God, not crafted with human hands. But we want to be faithful on this side, so that when we get on the other side, we're rejoicing with our fellow kingdom citizens. So as you make your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, I ask you to show up for full-time work, hard hat, steel-toe boots on, ready to go to work. There's so much happening in the world today. I don't know if you've kept up with this. I try to keep my eyes on what's happening around the world and what's happening domestically. Russia has started taking up arms against the Ukraine, seizing some of their ships, shooting at their ships, killing some of the Ukrainian soldiers. Poland has expressed, listen, we are defenseless against Russia. Poland has announced that their only hope to protect themselves against Russia is the United States. It's the United States of America. And then we have here domestically, large swaths of our people who are Americans are considering, flirting with, and even embracing socialism. I think it's high time for the body of Christ to recognize, man, we have one source and refuge, that is the Lord God Almighty. We have, and I'm going to get to some of this, invasion. Yes, you heard me right, an invasion from our southern border. And I'm going to share something later on to let you see that it's not merely Abraham, this American with the darker paint job's opinion about it being an invasion. Got a few Mexicans saying the same thing, and more than a few who are saying the same thing. We'll get to that, Lord willing. But it's high time for us to see, man, listen, it is him with whom we have to do. Unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. So to that end, let us turn our attention to the eternal, immutable, inerrant, inspired, divinely inspired word of the living God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword that the Lord has provided for us to navigate. I say all the time, the word of God is meant most importantly to be lived as an external, as a flashlight. It is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. We consume it in order for it to illuminate the manner that we are to walk, with our immediate steps being illuminated by God's word and our long-term vision being illuminated by God's word. And we're going to start today in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. And I'm going to jump into some King James on you today. this is a portion of scripture that is a part of Samuel's farewell address. This is after the nation of Israel has rejected the lordship and leadership of Yahweh as head of the nation of Israel in exchange for a natural king, a human king. And in the middle of this discourse, Samuel says something that I believe it is pertinent and poignant to us right now. This is one of those examples of when the Apostle Paul says those things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of Scripture, we might have hope. Biblical patience is not just waiting. Biblical patience is waiting combined with anticipation. Why? Because biblical patience requires us to embrace the reality that if we're in a place of waiting, the one who has ordained our days and our footsteps has ordained this time of waiting. So the anticipation and the expectation is not based upon the fact that we're in a waiting hope pattern, but it's based upon the fact who is the governor and author of our days. And the Apostle Paul says the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, that through patience, waiting with expectation, waiting with earnest anticipation, that through patience and the comfort of Scripture. Why is it comforting? Because we get to see how God has operated in the lives of those who have gone before us in the faith. And we can say, man, this fits my life right where I am. I see exactly what is happening there in the Word of God. And I see how it applies to where I am. That through patience and the comfort of Scripture, we might have hope. And isn't it amazing? In 1 Corinthians, for example, the Apostle Paul says, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Man, I'm telling you, it's in the scripto. But back to 1 Samuel, and I'm going to read this real slowly. And may the Lord do what he does with his word. So after Samuel has announced how the Lord had led the nation of Israel and how they had rebelled against him, and then they demanded a king, he goes into this portion right here. Verse 12, and when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord God was your king. And now, behold, the king whom you have chosen, for whom you have asked, behold, the Lord has set a king over you. Verse 14, if ye will fear the Lord, meaning the populace of Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both you and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. I'm going to read those last two verses again. If you will fear the Lord, the people of Israel, and I would say by application, the people of America, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both you and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now, why am I reading that? If you see what Samuel is saying there, he's giving the clear communication that the quality of the king in relationship to the king obeying the commandment of the Lord, it was not primarily based on the king himself. If you read it, he said, if you will fear the Lord and serve him, then both you and your king will serve the Lord. The onus of the first impetus of godliness was placed on the people. This is another example. This is why I say all the time, politics is not the root, it's the fruit. Politics flows downstream from culture. As my brother Israel Wayne says, politics is nothing more than religion externalized. Before we came on the air, I was talking to Jason, and I said, man, the reality is, and American people have to get this down in our, you know, she said in the church coming up, get it down in your spirit. Huh, maybe I'll put that voice on that and make it work. Get it down in your spirit. Huh. Your house is far more important to the preservation of our nation than the White House. Some of you are like, wait, what? Say that again, Abe? Yes, I'll say it again real slow. The things that transpire in your house are more important than what happens in the White House. Why is that? Because the people that are elected as leaders in our nation, they are nothing more than an externalization of the quality of people we have in our country. Think about it for a moment. Will an ungodly nation stand to have godly leadership? Think about how Mike Pence was ridiculed because he refused to meet with a woman other than his wife, especially in this Me Too moment. Now, at one time, you have people decrying the abuse, which is right. I do believe that's right. I believe it's been abused and taken too far, but decrying the fact that you have women who have been sexually abused, and at the same time, many of the same proponents of that Me Too movement would say, well, about Mike Pence, what's wrong with him? He's living in the Stone Age. Wicked people will never stomach godly leadership. And so my prayer and my hope is that we get it down in our spirit, get it down in our souls, get it down in our systems. If we really love the Lord and we really love this country, we need to place more impetus, more emphasis on our personal walks with the Lord and us evangelizing and making disciples of our neighbors. Because then and only then, that's kind of like I forgot the name of that movie. Then and only then. Shall you recognize the master. Then and only then shall the American people demand righteous leadership. When the Bible talks about blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, or when the Bible talks about when the righteous rule, the people rejoice, that is not limited to saying the quality and character of the leadership. In the nation where we live, where God has afforded us the liberty and freedom to select our own representatives. That's the thing we have to remember. Our leaders are merely positioned to represent our views on issues. In our nation, when we read that, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice, a lot of that rejoicing in our context will be because the people demand righteous leadership. We have to get it down in our systems. What happens at our house, around our dinner tables, what happens in our streets, what happens in our communities, is more important than what happens in the White House. I know the power that is wielded in the White House, but guess who gives that power? We the people. We the people. Now, again, and I know to some people I may sound like a broken record on this, but I want us to understand that we have to be careful that we don't place all of our eggs in the basket in thinking that, man, if we could just get our politics right, all things will be correct in the world. If we could just get so-and-so into office, all things will be correct in the world. When that is not the case. Samuel told the Israelites, listen, if you obey the Lord, if you obey the Lord's commandments, if you do what is necessary for the blessings of the Lord to invade your space, your king will be fine. But he offered the converse. If you fail, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. And I'm just saying, listen, while there was day, like Jesus said, man, work while it is day. While we have the opportunity and the privileges that we have, while we have the liberty and the freedom that we have, why not give it all to the Lord? Why not go the distance? Why not give it all? Why halt between two opinions? Again, this does not mean that we are to abandon civic engagement. I did a Cultural Institute video on that. I talked about the biblical case for civic engagement. We must remain engaged civically, but certainly not engaging civically when we're not personally engaged in individual walking in holiness before the Lord. You know, I forgot the brother's name. He wrote the Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Josh McDowell. Had Josh McDowell on the program talking about the scores of Christians who are bound in pornography. The scores of Christian pastors who are bound in pornography. Yet on the other end, we want to say we want righteous leadership. I'm saying, man, repentance has to begin at the house of the Lord. And we may think we're hiding our stuff well, but if we are, at best, we're hiding it from one another. We ain't hiding it from God, man. The thing that America is in most desperate need of is repentance. And as we repent, there was an old song, sweep around your own front door. Before you start trying to sweep around somebody else's, I'm simply saying that politics is downstream from culture. If we have a populace that is hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the type of populace that demands, as Alexis de Tocqueville said at one point, the pulpits in America were aflame in righteousness. Man, you don't manufacture that. It's not manufactured. If we sweep around our own front door, our politics will take care of itself because politics is downstream from culture.
celebrating federal pro-life victories. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. The Department of Health and Human Services has recently issued some significant pro-life announcements. This includes changes to the Obamacare contraception and abortion mandate. Now there will be a clear exemption for those Americans who have a religious or moral objection to health insurance that covers abortifacients and sterilization procedures. The Trump administration also proposes to address the hidden abortion surcharge in many insurance plans purchased under Obamacare. That means that abortion insurance will be collected separately from insurance premiums. And the HHS would separate abortion services from family planning and provide a new funding opportunity for Title X family planning service grants. This would ban abortions or abortion referrals done with Title X dollars. Praise God that this administration is standing for life. Stay informed at lc.org.
Operation Christmas Child is about evangelism through a simple shoebox gift.
And it's about discipleship through the greatest journey.
The Greatest Journey is a 12-lesson discipleship course that teaches children who Jesus is, what it means to follow Him, and how to share this incredible message with others.
Join American Family Radio Wednesday, December 5th to find out more, or visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
As we all know, Jesus is the reason for the season. But sadly, there are some folks who don't. Join the American Family Association and spread the word by ordering our Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands. You can purchase them in sets of 10. And if you buy more, you'll save more. Order by December 14th to receive them just in time for Christmas. You can share them with anyone. We just want to remind people that you can't have Christmas without Christ. Order yours now at afastore.net.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. A liberal writer in Time magazine recently wrote that there is no virtue in finding common ground. She claims that the view that morality is found somewhere in the middle between two opposing points of view is a fallacy. If one of the views is morally right and the other view is morally wrong, what kind of compromise could be found between people who aren't willing to compromise on their moral values? She is absolutely right. We as conservatives must understand that we must not compromise on the great moral issues of the day, whether the issue is the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, or the nature of human sexuality. When we compromise on matters of biblical morality, we never win, we always lose. The left understands that. Do we?
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. Yeah, I forgot to mention, in addition to all other things I mentioned earlier about that are happening in the world, have you heard about China's application of the social credit score? Well, if you haven't heard about it, I'll tell you what it is. Basically, the communist Chinese government, using a combination of placing digital cameras everywhere in the nation of China, they are literally keeping tabs on their citizenry, and they've developed a new mechanism to control the behavior of their citizens. It's called the social credit score. So the way it works, that if the Chinese citizens do something that the government doesn't like, they get a demerit or a deduction in their social credit score. And that if you reach a significant amount of social credit score deductions, then you are prohibited from certain, we would call in America, liberties, from exercising certain liberties. In China, they would call them privileges. Because, of course, China is a communist nation. And just as an aside, we have people in America considering socialism. And socialism is just, one is a step toward communism. But leaving that aside, so as this plan has now gone into effect, as of today, 11 million Chinese people have been prohibited from boarding flights in China because their social credit scores have been dinged. 4 million people have been prohibited from taking train rides because of it. And the Chinese are collaborating with the Venezuelans because, of course, Maduro, it's not enough that he's destroyed the Venezuelan economy. Because if you don't remember, Venezuela was once one of the wealthiest nations in Latin America. because of its oil reserves and its richness because of oil. Well, Maduro is saying, yo, I like that control you got over there, Xi Jinping. Bring some of that over to Venezuela. And so the Chinese are helping the Venezuelans, of course, not for free, in exchange for further access to Venezuela's oil reserves, helping the Venezuelans implement the system to develop the social credit score there in Venezuela. Folks, this is stuff that's happening. And not only will I say this is very Orwellian, I mean, 1984, we are here, but do I need to remind you about the Bible? What the Bible talks about with having certain requirements granted to satisfy the government in order to buy and sell. Do we need to talk about that? To give you an example, if you go to a grocery store and instead of buying the organic milk, you buy or the organic option, you choose the non-organic option. The government says, oh, you're not being healthy. Ding, social credit score goes down. But if you make a choice that the government likes, social credit scores goes up. And of course, that is going to condition the Chinese people to do what the government wants them to do. Folks, this is happening today. Oh, and did I even mention that Google, yes, the American company Google, is helping China develop this social credit score system by wiring the cameras to their intelligence that is based in the central government of China? Yeah, yeah. You know, Google, those wonderful bastions or celebrants of freedom and liberty, have no problem exporting their technology to the Chinese government. Man, I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up. You cannot make this stuff up. Well, I said I was going to get to this. Have you all heard the latest of this migrant caravan coming to America? And one of the things, this is one of the examples as to why the American people is tired of the mainstream talking stick media, why the moniker of fake news is struck. By now, many of you have seen the stock image that has circulated the American mainstream media that's giving the indication that, these migrants are just asylum seekers, most of them women and children, just trying to flee the violence and terrorism that is happening in their native country of Honduras. When you actually look at the photograph, it's comprised of, it has three cameramen in the photograph staging pictures, highlighting the only woman by all objective reports, the caravan consists of 99.85% men who are of military fighting age. I mean, seriously, like to say that it's filled with women and children, that's just a lie. And to say that, oh, these are nothing but asylum seekers, whenever members of the caravan are interviewed, they are not asylum seekers, they're economic migrants attempting to take advantage of America's very poor asylum laws, but they're moving. Many of them continually say, oh, because they have better job opportunities in America. Folks, that is not us looking for asylum. That is economic migrancy. That's like somebody moving from California to Texas because they have better job opportunities. They're not fleeing because their lives are in danger. And so you have the president saying that, man, he's not letting these people cross into the border illegally. And you have people saying, oh, I saw Simone Sanders of CNN tweeted out, oh, the U.S. government is firing tear gas at asylum seekers. That's just not true, folks. It's just not true. And when in reference to calling them invaders and saying it's an invasion, that's not merely President Trump's opinion. And of course, you won't hear this on the Talking Snake News. But many Mexicans feel the same way. You probably haven't even heard of the Mexican protesters who came out saying, we want the Hondurans out of our country. Mexico first. Because they're destroying our country. Now, you probably haven't heard that. Well, I have a little audio. And see, one of the things that I endeavor to do at the Hamilton Corner is to show you we have no problems with the Spanish language. We're going to air a little bit of Espanol for you today. And thanks to my wife, I know a little bit of Spanish, but I want you to hear with your own ears some of the Mexican protesters who are rebuking and objecting to the Hondurans' presence even in Mexico. This is in Tijuana, Mexico, where Mexicans are protesting the Honduran caravan. If you would, Jay, please play clip number 4.
Donald Trump tenía la razón. Es una invasión. Lo que dijo Donald Trump es verdad. Es una invasión. Esto es lo que es. Y vienen más disque caravanas. Y solamente son terroristas. Esos son lo que son.
Now, pause it right there, Jason, because I want to make sure people understand what's going on here. Now, you hear this man's voice. You hear him very passionately making a plea to the crowd. He is saying Donald Trump was right. This is an invasion. Donald Trump was right. This is an invasion. Now, I ask, why won't our media cover this? You know what? Why won't the good people who are just interested in the facts, just the facts, ma'am, at the Talking Snake outlets say, well, you know, maybe we should show that it's not only President Trump saying that it's an invasion. You have Mexican people saying it not only is an invasion, but saying, man, Donald Trump is right. And I know some people are like, whoa, are you telling the truth, Abe? Listen, yes. You won't find the Talking Snakes telling you. You know, that would be like the snake rolling up on Eve and saying, hey, you know what, Eve? You really shouldn't be talking to me. You shouldn't be talking to me right now. You know, the Lord said you're not supposed to eat from this tree. I mean, come on, Eve. You know better than that. No, the Talking Snakes, what do? They lie. They lie. Run it again from the top, please, Jay.
Donald Trump es verdad, es una invasión, esto es lo que es, y vienen más disque caravanas, y solamente son terroristas, esos son lo que son. Abran los ojos, México, yo exhorto a todos los estados mexicanos que se levanten y empiecen a exigir los derechos que necesitamos aquí en nuestro país.
Now, you heard at the end, a female voice comes in and begins a chant, including the word Hondureños. Hondureños is Hondurans. And they're saying, get out, Hondurans. We don't want you here. Get out, Hondurans. We don't want you here. The Talking Snake's not going to tell you that either. And we have to wonder why. And I have to tell you, man, I am utterly disgusted with our media. And with the lies, and to be frank, on both sides, on all sides, then in many instances where you have some so-called conservative outlets when they'll shade the truth to benefit their agenda, and on very consistent instances, you have the Talking Snakes, and I'll throw the conservatives that lie in the Talking Snakes as well. You know, I've said before, you know, Fox ain't what it used to be. I don't trust Fox News either. You know, and they're telling you, man, this is an invasion. The people trying to say, oh, these are just asylum seekers, and then you put the microphone in their face and say, ma'am, or they say, sir, why are you coming to America? And they're saying, we have more opportunities in America. Oh, what are those opportunities? Do I need to remind you what we talked about before about birthright citizenship? Though it may be illegal for me, if I cross illegally, to get welfare benefits. If I have a child here, oh, they get it, and I'll get to get it on their behalf. And do I need to also add into the equation the scores of American corporations that are hiring illegal aliens under the table so they can make a larger profit? All of it needs to be brought to the light. All of it needs to be brought to the surface. But it's sickening. It's sickening. And we now have this situation to where there's a standoff on our border where over the weekend, and this is the thing that blows my mind. One of the headlines I read from the Talking Snake Media, it said, peaceful protesters flee tear gas at the American border. And down, way down in the fine print of the story, they just happen to reveal, oh, and by the way, these peaceful protesters are throwing rocks at our border patrol. How can they be peaceful protesters if they're throwing rocks? I'm going to peacefully toss this boulder at Jason's head. Oh, how peaceful of me. It's just lying, man. It's just lying. And we have the country being compelled to absorb this foolishness. And then over the weekend, man, I got so much stuff to say on this. You know, many of you heard the story about the young American man who attempted to evangelize the North Sentinel island who's under the island is under the sovereign jurisdiction of India, but it's illegal to go to the island. And, you know, you had people, I literally read people and heard people, some of them, celebrating the fact that this young man is dead. Saying that, you know, he potentially had diseases that threatened the livelihood of this people. And they had the sovereign right to protect their land and their nation and their tribe from a foreign invasion. And then you have these are the same people that are supporting this migrant caravan to invade our nation. I'm like, you have to pick. If you support the ability of a sovereign nation to protect its borders from a foreign invasion, why then are you the same folks saying that, oh, we need to welcome everybody coming to America? And then they have reports from the Mexican government itself saying that, man, it's not all people who in peaceful, loving people here. You have criminals that's working with these people. I've said before and I'll say it again. Those who are rightfully seeking asylum, we can process the asylum claims, but who can demand that we do that? Nobody. Coming to the United States of America is no foreigner's right. It is a privilege to come here. How can you demand to enter our country and say, no, we're coming in? That's like somebody walking to your house, they knock on the door, you don't answer in time. They say, oh, I'm getting in. Johnny, get my crowbar. And you're expected, because of your compassion, to say, come on in. That's foolishness, folks. That's foolishness. And I know that not everybody who is coming here is seeking to be leeches, but that doesn't mean they have a right to come here. They do not have a right. And the talking snakes know if they told the truth, the American people would not support their agenda. So what do? They lie, is what they do. For example, did you know, I have a story right here in my hand, that the Mexican government said that they were going to deport over 500 people who they witnessed trying to cross into America illegally. But the talking snakes won't tell you about that. They won't tell you about that. Then you have this instance right now. They say, oh, President Trump is so heartless that the military under President Trump is shooting tear gas at these migrants. And these same lying suckers, sorry, I'm getting so upset about this, but these same lying suckers didn't say a word when President Obama did the same thing in 2013. President Obama, 2013, and this was reported in 2013 that U.S. Border Patrol agents pepper sprayed migrants trying to enter the country illegally. But they don't have nary a word to say under President Obama. But now, because President Trump is in office, oh, this is so evil. This is so wrong. I'm just tired of it. And the American people are tired of it too. The American people are tired of it. I'm just going to tell you like it is. The American people are tired of these subversive elements that have infiltrated our news media and have infiltrated our educational institutions and that have infiltrated the influences of culture to try to turn our nation against itself. Where you'd be hard-pressed to go into an American school and find somebody teaching anything virtuous about America. When the facts are, you search any nation's history, they have a horrid, sinful past. Any nation. But people in our own country want to spend all of their time focusing on America's sinful past. And even sins of the present. And even with all of that, this is the greatest nation to live in the world. Why not tell the truth? One of the things I love about the Lord is in the Bible that he tells us, the Lord shows us the good, the bad, and the ugly. We know about God's grace and his mercy because he lets us see everything about King David. But in the end, because of David's repentance, the Lord calls him a man after his own heart. But the facts are, and people in our country do not want to admit it. They do not want to face it. This is one of the reasons, man, I'm telling y'all, this is one of the reasons why Alan West is no longer in Congress, because you had spineless Republicans working against him to get him out of Congress because he was exposing the fact that you had communist sympathizers working in our government. And then, guess what happens now? It just so happens that we have a whole party embracing democratic socialism. And you want to tell me that's a coincidence? It's not a coincidence. They got rid of Alan West because he was exposing the truth. All of these democratic socialists all of a sudden just pop up. Many of them working in Bernie Sanders' campaign, they just popped up. No, they didn't just pop up. The members of Congress who are embracing socialism, they've been here. But Alan West was exposing it, and guess what happens? They redistrict him out of having an office. I didn't plan on spending all of this time on this, but I'm sick of the lies, and somebody has got to tell the truth.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our tours each year fill up quickly. And so I'm letting you know now, don't tell anybody else now, that the 2019 Spiritual Heritage Tours are planned for June and for September. So if you want to go this year, that is 2019, you need to let us know as soon as you can. Visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, those are two separate trips, one to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and the other one to Washington, D.C., and George Washington's Mount Vernon. Stephen McDowell, who's the president and founder of the Providence Foundation, is our historian, and he'll be on both trips telling us the behind the scenes and the stories of who, what, when, and why.
What should we learn from the pilgrims? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. The pilgrims, who miraculously established the early American colony at Plymouth in 1620 and celebrated the first Thanksgiving with local Indians in 1621, were a subgroup of the Puritans who believed the Church of England needed purifying in doctrine and practice from Roman Catholic influence. The pilgrims fled persecution in England for Holland, eventually making their historic voyage to America for religious freedom and economic opportunity. Two things Christians can learn from the pilgrims are their steadfast trust in God's rule over the affairs of life and their willingness to separate from compromise. Hear an interview about the pilgrims at thechristianworldview.org. This weekend, we'll examine the recent State of Theology survey.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. There was a time when the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade was a family-friendly affair with marching band, super-sized cartoon balloon, Santa Claus. But these days, the department store chain is more interested in using its parade to promote a specific agenda. This year, Macy's made history for broadcasting the parade's first-ever lesbian kiss. Hundreds of parents reached out to me. They were beyond furious. Rod Dreyer, writing for the American Conservative, accused Macy's of sexualizing and lesbianizing the parade. His words, not mine. To be clear, Macy's has every right to advance whatever political or cultural agenda they desire to advance. But they should have given moms and dads a heads up on the parade's content. That being said, parents with young children might want to consider pre-taping next year's parade to avoid having to answer uncomfortable questions over the giblet gravy. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm not going to take calls this segment. I got a lot to get off my chest. So I know I normally take calls in this segment, but I'm not going to do that today. Lord willing, I will do that tomorrow. But it's just, I'm just tired of the foolishness, man. Just tell the truth. You know, if you really, Republicans, you really want to stop this crisis of illegal immigration, let's shut down one of the sources, not the exclusive, but one of the sources of the continual flow of illegal immigration, that is companies hiring illegal immigrants under the table. We can do that. We can do that. And on the converse side, you regressives, why y'all want to act like we have an infinite amount of money and resources for this? I know why, because you want to turn America into Europe. You know, lying snakes like Hillary Clinton who go overseas and tell people, hey, you know, by the way, immigration destroyed Europe. Well, why would you say that over there and won't say that here? Because she's a lying sack of potatoes. That's why. And I'm grateful to God that I don't have to call her Madam President. Disgusting, man. It's disgusting. And I meant what I said. Search the histories of any nation you want to, and you'll find gross atrocities. And I find it absolutely remarkable. All these people in America talking about socialism, they're just going to ignore the fact that over 100 million people died in the name of socialism. But they have the unmitigated hubris to think, oh, you know what? That's just because they did socialism wrong. It's ridiculous. You want to talk about the atrocities of slavery, but nobody talks about the fact that it was called a slave trade. In order for Europeans to have slaves, there was something that they traded in exchange for the slaves. Well, what you're talking about, Abe? Well, there were people on the opposite side of the trade who had more melanin in their skin content, like myself, who were willing to sell people in exchange for goods. But we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about even the fact that the word slave comes from the Norwegian word for Slav, that most slavery transpired with people in conquering and enslaving others who looked just like them. The Bible tells us that all have fallen, all have sinned, but we have bought into this country the treatment of our nation as if we are unique and exclusive of having stains in our nation's history. And let's deal with it. While we're on the subject, man, I'm not intended to talk about all of this stuff, but while we're on the subject, I also have a concern for people who say they love America, but at the same time, they call themselves conservatives, but they support the flying of a Confederate battle flag that stands for waging war on the flag of the United States of America. I don't understand that. I'm not saying we need to discard historical facts in our nation, but surely we shouldn't celebrate the fact that there was a nation that declared war on my land, on my country. That's ridiculous. Man, I'm on one today, huh? Moving on. Did you know, and this is one of the things, man, this is why we have to pay attention. Now, most of you know I support many of the policies of our president. I tell you what I think the president has done wrong. I'm done right when I think he's done right. And I tell you the things that I think the president has done wrong. Now, I was among those who celebrated the fact that the president was moving forward to replace NAFTA. NAFTA was a trade deal that did not work out well for the United States of America. Replace NAFTA with the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. And this happened while many of us were preparing for our turkey. That 45 House Republican lawmakers wrote to President Trump expressing their deep concern. Get ready for this now. Expressing their deep concern that Chapter 23 of the United States-Mexico-Canada trade agreement included language that supported protections for sexual orientation and gender identity. And this is going to segue into a story that I didn't even realize that I learned of this morning that's happening in Austin, Texas, and it started all the way back in October. But in the deep in the bowels of the United States-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, there was language that much of it, frankly, was put forward by Justin Trudeau of Canada. Because if you don't know, Canada is further down the sexual deviancy agenda spectrum achievements than we are, you know, and people may not believe that, but they are. I'm going to tell you some more factual information about that. But buried in the bowels of this agreement, you have sexual orientation and gender identity language, which has resulted in lawmakers in Congress writing to the president and saying, quote, that the inclusion of this language was, quote, inappropriate and insulting to our national sovereignty, end quote. And they urged President Trump to remove that language. Because this is a trade agreement, the Congress has to approve the trade agreement. And these legislators are demanding that President Trump removes that from the deal. Now, here's a question I have. Is this an incident where somebody just fell asleep on the job and wasn't dotting the I's and crossing the T's? Or is this an instance where somebody knew it was in the deal and nevertheless are attempting to let it go? I don't know the answer for you on that, but I will tell you that this is something that needs to be addressed. Why is that? I've said before that the advancement of protections for the sexual deviancy agenda is on a collision course with religious liberty. If you recall during the oral arguments, and I've shared this on this program before, in 2015, when President Obama's administration argued before the United States Supreme Court in favor of same-sex marriage during the Obergefell versus Hodges case, Justice Samuel Alito turned to the United States Solicitor General under President Obama and said, Mr. Solicitor General, if we, the Supreme Court, grant what you are requesting of us, Would that not put the First Amendment protections for religious liberty on a collision course? Justice Alito's words, not mine, on a collision course with same-sex marriage rights. And in a moment of candor, President Obama's Solicitor General said, Justice Alito, you are correct. However, that would be something that the states would need to work out. So when I tell you that these things are on a collision course, this is not just my imagination, folks. Now, why am I saying that? Sorry for the pause. I had to sneeze. Why am I saying that? And I mentioned already that 45 congressmen wrote to President Trump to say, we need to get that language out of this trade agreement if you want us to sign off on it. Now, why am I talking about this collision course in the city of Austin? And this all this follows an incident that happened in the city of Houston, and it started when I was living there. In the city of Austin, the Austin, Texas City Council has passed what's called SOGI, Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity, they've passed a non-discrimination ordinance. That the bottom line of it, and this is going to be consistent with SOGI ordinances all across the country, it prohibits discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity, okay? That is an ordinance that, on the surface, it seeks to protect those who would be adherents to the sexual deviancy agenda from being discriminated against within the city. But can I tell you something? Usually, when these ordinances are considered, there are exemptions and exceptions that are carved out for churches in particular, as well as religious adherents. And when I tell you religious adherents, I'm saying that specifically because you have Muslims, Jews, and Christians who all do disagree with the same-sex marriage advancement, as well as the entire panoply of the LGBTQ plus IAPP. And I'm not making it up. All of those acronyms those letters have been added to the acronym for the sexual deviancy agenda. All of those faith traditions object to this. But in Austin, the city council adopted this ordinance and refused to provide any exemptions or exceptions for the church, which literally means if the ordinance is allowed to go into effect, that you could see the day or the time and the place where the government requires churches and religiously adherent business owners to employ people and to make business decisions that violate their conscience and their religious beliefs. Now, some of you may say, oh, they don't mean it that way. Enter back in the conversation, Canada. As we speak, and I had a couple friends of mine in town just before the Thanksgiving holiday who live in Canada. My family and I visit Canada. We have friends there. It is illegal in Canada to read, talk, or discuss on the airwaves anything from Romans 1. It's illegal. If a pastor preaches from Romans 1 on television in Canada, he will go to jail. Because the ultimate reality that these ordinances do the effect, I'm not saying that everybody who advocates for them understands all of this, but the effect will be to silence any dissent based on conscientious objection and religious faith. This is why First Amendment free exercise of religion and the sexual deviancy political agenda are on a collision course. If the city of Austin seeks to advance this as a non-discrimination protection and they refuse to provide exemptions and acceptance for the church, you have the real phenomenon that will happen to churches, the exact same thing that happened to the Boy Scouts when the Boy Scouts were forced to begin to admit homosexual scout leaders. Forced, regardless of his tradition and what it's based on or founded upon. Folks, we have got to wake up. I bring us back again to the way I started the program. Samuel told the people of Israel, if you, people of Israel, will obey the Lord, then you and your king will be all right. But if you refuse, I'm telling you, this follows consistent efforts that are moving with a slow drumbeat. By God's grace, thankfully, that the U.S. Pastors Council has filed a lawsuit on behalf of pastors in the city of Austin to fight against this particular ordinance because, as Jonathan Sines from Texas Values said, the ordinance provides no, quote, he says, quote, the ordinance provides no exemptions or accommodations for employers who hold religious objections to homosexuality or transgender behavior. It does not even exempt church hiring decisions from its prohibition on sex discrimination, nor does it exempt churches from the ban on discrimination on account of sexual orientation or gender identity, end quote. So the reality is that this ordinance will subvert church doctrine. This ordinance is the proverbial foot in the door to begin to say, nah, church, you say you believe this, but you cannot believe this. Eerily reminiscent of the very same thing Hillary Clinton said when she was running for president, that if you have a set of beliefs that do not comport with public policies, you will have to change your beliefs. This follows on the backs of Tim Gill. Remember, I told you about Tim Gill, Uber billionaire Tim Gill, who is himself a homosexual, who said that he would use his resources to punish the wicked. This follows the consistent efforts to establish drag queen story hours in pretty conservative cities all across the South, where you have small towns. Well, Austin is not a small town, but you have small towns. They have an ordinance like this in Clarksville, Mississippi. Small towns all across the South to where these types of ordinances are being adopted. And you have many people that are laying in wait to enforce these things. As an aside, I think I mentioned this. If you are a resident of the state of Mississippi, there is an election tomorrow. A lot of us may not remember that because it's not a part of the big set of midterm elections that happened a couple weeks ago. Well, there's an election tomorrow. Mississippians, please, please, please go out and vote. Go out and vote. It is my contention that many of these ordinances are laying in wait until you can have the federal judiciary solidified in completing the job that began with former President Barack Obama, to where the court systems is overrun with judges who share regressive ideology. Because once they have the court system stacked in that particular way, which is why I believe much of the efforts in the midterms were sent to stymie President Trump's ability to populate the federal judiciary with constitutionalist judges, because if they're able to complete the fundamental transformation initiated by former President Barack Obama, then they will be able to begin to enforce many of these ordinances that part of the ultimate objective is to silence the church. Now, some of y'all might think, Abraham, you are crazy. You are way out there. That is not the objective. I just tell you, go check out what's happening in Canada. Go ahead and check out what's happening in Sweden. Go ahead and check out what's happening in Europe. Go ahead and check out what's happening all across the world, folks. I'm not making this up. All over the world, these same types of efforts have been used to begin to muzzle the mouth of the church, and by extension, the individual believers. This is why I say civic engagement is absolutely necessary. It's part and parcel to our responsibility to be salt and light, because if we're not careful, if we're not diligent, if we're not sober, then we could find ourselves being negligent so much so till we wake up one day and they're telling you, oh, no, you can't say that. You what? The gospel? What? Repent. Man, that's a hate word. That's hate speech. You mean to tell me that what I'm doing, somebody has a problem with it? That's hate speech. Offense? That's hate speech. I'm telling you, folks. Just call me man on a wall, shouting it, hoping somebody hears what I'm saying. If we are not vigilant, if we're not sober-minded, we're going to wake up one day, and in these United States of America, you're going to have people telling you, you can't open that Bible here. You can't say that here. The airwaves are not conducive to you reading from Romans chapter 1, Leviticus chapter 18, Genesis chapter 19, Judges chapter 19. You can't do that. Why? Because that's offensive. And we have adopted this non-discrimination ordinance that says you cannot discriminate in your practices nor in your preferences against people who are a part of this protected class. We better wake up while we have time. As Jesus said, let us work while it is day. God bless you all. Have a good evening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.